Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome. It is Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We've got most of the voice back today. I talked as little as I could the last 22 hours, and I think it was all right. I think we did fine. 803-0930, Star 930 gets you on the show. Anything you want to talk about that I talked about would be great. And I thought we would bring the government shutdown that is in effect for the last 13 hours, and I thought we would apply it to our homes and our personal economies. Okay, so I was thinking of this. I've talked about this. You know, I listen to a lot of Dave Ramsey podcasts. I like to read the Dave Ramsey, some of his books. And by read, I mean listen to him on tape. And, you know, he talks a lot about money, right? He's preaching to the choir, right? Especially with me. The stuff he says is stuff I should be doing. That's what when he's talking about people who make dumb mistakes, he is talking about yours truly. So I thought, what if your economy was shut down and you could only put essential things in your budget, right? You had to cut your budget, let's say in half. What goes, what stays? I'd like to know from you. 803-0930, Star 930 gets you on the show, gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. And, we can get into specifics of the shutdown, but, you know, I talked about it the last 2 days, so I think you guys know where I stand, and really nothing's changed on that. If something does change, we'll talk about it. But looking at your expenses and looking at what you spend money on, if tomorrow something happened, I'm not saying you lose your job, because there's still some money coming in, right? But you have to cut your budget in half. What is it you're getting rid of? Now, the average American spends in the neighborhood of $6,440 a month. That's the average American household, okay? Now, most of that is spent on housing. The average American will spend over $2,000 a month on housing. Another $1,000 of that is transportation, $832 on food, personal insurance and pensions, about $800. Healthcare, about $500. Entertainment, $300. And then apparel, education, cash contributions, and miscellaneous round out the rest of that list. Now, you could say that, you know, oh, well, I would just get rid of all my entertainment. I would stop, you know, I would get rid of TV and everything. Would you, though? I mean, if you were forced to cut your budget in half, that means take the $6,440 and make it $3,220. What are you cutting out? Now, you probably can't cut out your housing. You might be able to Can you refinance a mortgage? I don't know. That's not my that's not in my expertise. So that's probably a number you can't play around much with. Transportation, you could ask to work from home every other day, right? You could carpool. You could find a way to cut into that transportation number and get that somewhere around 500. Food, let me tell you, from experience, you can make your groceries cheaper, right? Now, I know a lot of people don't want to, but if something happened and you might have to get rid of the expensive steaks every week, you might be able to cut that food down and go around $120 a week on the necessities, right? And unfortunately, those necessities would be a lot of ground beef, let me tell you. But you could make it work. So you could take some money from there, right? But we're still having an issue. So I want to know, you leave your necessities. Let's just assume insurance, pension, healthcare, all that stuff, that doesn't count in this scenario. What are you cutting? What are you getting rid of? What I'm pretty much asking here is, what monthly do you have a subscription to? Do you purchase that you really don't need, but let's be honest, it would be difficult to get rid of? For me, I have the perfect example. Bills season tickets are not a necessity, right? I do not need Bills season tickets. But my gosh, it would be really difficult to say that in a budgeting process. Like, I could not imagine not having Bills season tickets. My FOMO is way too much. I would try everything I could to keep that in my monthly budget. I would eat $2 bag salads every day and skip breakfast just so I could purchase those bill season tickets. Do you get what I'm saying? We all have something that we purchase monthly, yearly, weekly, whatever, that is not a necessity, but it feels like a necessity to us. We might even do overtime, a third job, just so we can keep that thing that feels like a necessity, but it's not. For me, it's the season tickets. Like, that is something I, you know, obviously I'm not gonna have my kid go to bed hungry. That's not what I'm talking about here. But yeah, I might have a smaller meal. I might skip breakfast for a week. You get what I'm saying? And you could yell at your radio and say, Joe, that's so irresponsible. You're such a child. But I guarantee there's something in your life that it would take a lot for you to take it out of the budget. It would be a situation where you had literally no money to get rid of that thing, right? Whatever that thing is in your life. What is that thing? That's what I'm asking. 803-0930, star 930. And you think of subscriptions. And you see this all the time. Do you have a subscription that you've forgotten? A lot of social media ads will ask you that, right? I didn't realize I had two Apple Music subscriptions. You didn't. You're that irresponsible. But then maybe you remember you forgot to cancel a free subscription, and that has now been pulling out of your account for several months. That's how they get you. We're not going to give you a 2-day free trial. We'll give you a 14-day free trial because we're guessing by day 10, you completely forgot about it. It's happened. You've been guilty of it. You put the card on file. You're like, oh, I'll remember. You don't set a reminder because, oh, I'll remember. But then whatever it was you were subscribing to was crap. It wasn't that good. So you stopped using it without canceling the subscription. This has happened with video add-ons on Prime for me. Countless number of times I'll get a free trial of an app, and then the app does not do what I thought it was going to do. And I'll stop using it, but I'll completely forget. Oh yeah, they're going to charge me $4 at the end of the month. Now, to be fair, there was one. There's an app that you put it up in the sky, and it shows what you're looking at, right? Shows the stars, shows where you should see a particular planet. And I just was going to use the free trial, forgot to cancel it. It's only $2 a month. I am so glad that I forgot to cancel that because I have used that so many times, especially through the summer when we've had these clear nights. And it is amazing to be able to identify what that dot in the sky is. 8030930, star 930. So the question, I was trying to set it up with the current event, the government shutdown. But you're looking at your budget. What is something, it's not a necessity. You could never convince anyone it's a necessity. However, to you, it feels like a necessity, and it would take literally claiming bankruptcy for you to get rid of this thing. 8030930, star 930. Maria in Cheektowaga, what's something that's not a necessity, but to you it feels like a necessity?
Probably like my cat. That's my necessity. I could never imagine living through life without my pet. In my case, it's my cat. I've been through hard times before, and I did my grocery shopping at the dollar store at the time, just so, you know, I had money for my cat food. And I don't buy cheap cat food, but so my cat can be comfortable, and I can take her to the vet if she needs to. But that is the one thing that I would live in a trailer, like a camper, before I had to give up my pet. I would get rid of all of my subscriptions, all of my Netflix, my Amazon. I would never give up my animal.
Now, so when you were buying food at the dollar store, the cat was eating better than you.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, you can buy evaporated milk at the dollar store. You know, but my cat had to have her better food, or she would be puking everywhere if she didn't have that fancy food.
That is one lucky. Now, let me ask you, Maria, because you've had to have heard me in the past talk about how, you know, I love dogs, I don't understand cats. Explain the joy of cats over dogs, because, you know, I grew up with cats and they always ran away from me.
You know what? I've had dogs too, and I love my dogs. Cats are very independent, so they're not clingy, but they are affectionate. I mean, they can tell. When I lost my parents, my cat did not leave my side. I was in bed for 3 weeks. I was so out of it. My cat stayed under my chin. She stayed with me the whole time. You know, they're just like a comfort. They're just a comfort. They're fun. You know, they're crazy. They're, you know, I mean, the way you bring them up, if you were living with any animal, if you live in a chaotic household, your pet's going to be chaotic. Mine were not. You know, they were very well behaved. But they just bring you they bring you a lot of joy. And it's nice to see, you know, a lot of men are coming around to, hey, yeah, I own a cat. I have two cats. And, it's not embarrassing now to have a cat. It's pretty cool to have a cat. In general, they really do get you through some hard times, you know, just the cuddling, you know, you can talk to them, they're there for you. You know, I could never be without a cat. I can't imagine, you know, someday if the day does come and I end up in a nursing home, I would not last long because you can't bring your pet there. Nope. And I know that.
For sure, for sure. Well, Maria, it's nice that, hey, you will put the cat ahead of your ahead of your dinner.
I kind of do, yeah.
Well, Maria, that's awesome. Thank you so much for the call. Maria in Cheektowaga, 8030930, star 930. And by the way, that's the perfect point to make, because we know people hit hard times. What happens? They just abandon their pets. It's depressing. But it happens. Unfortunately, it happens more than you'd like to admit, where people have an animal. They either fall on tough times, or they never could support the animal to begin with, and they just abandoned it. I mean, that's why we have, you know, the SPCA, and they do such great work. You know, the amount of abandoned animals they bring in. And it seems like cats are top of the list of the house pets that are abandoned. Again, when people fall in tough times, Maria says, I'll go to the dollar store. I'll get something for $1.25 for my dinner just so the cat eats the food that it's used to. 803-0930, *930 gets you on the show. It gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board as well. Yeah, for me, like I said, it's season tickets. I could get rid of, I mean, seriously, I could get rid of all my streaming apps except for ESPN because I have to watch college football. But I would get rid of all my streaming apps. The list of things I would do, again, if necessary, if I was told, hey, you've got to have just the essentials, we're shutting down your economy, we're shutting it down, we're giving you just essentials, I would do anything to keep my season tickets. Again, I would not starve my family, okay? But I would do anything. I would starve myself. I would go down to 2 meals a day. Right? Like, to me, that's the closest thing to essential. I know it sounds ridiculous, and I'm glad that my wife cannot listen to the show because she's working. But it's true. It is an accurate statement. And, you know, people out there, I mean, where are my smokers at? I know there's people out there, they would, cigarettes is the last thing. You should give it up, right? But it's the last thing you'd give up. You're always going to have a pack, regardless of how your economy gets. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying. It's an honest statement, and I know people out there, they've been down to their last dollar, and you know they'll go and they'll get a pack of cigarettes. So we all have that thing that feels essential to us. It's not on the essential list, right? It wouldn't make the Erie County COVID list of essentials. Well, maybe it depends, but to you, it's an essential item. Now I thought someone would call in and say, you know, the first thing they get rid of is cable. They do stuff around the house if they had to shut down their economy. And I was flipping through the channels yesterday, just looking for something to have in the background. I am a big fan of, you know, I have the Toms on in the afternoon, right? Bowerly's on in the house, then Puckett's on in the house, and sometimes Will Kane's on the house, but usually I'll turn on TV, see what they're talking about. No offense to Will Kane. Everyone should be listening. But if I'm not in the car, you know, like yesterday I watched David on Fox News. And after David was off of Laura Ingraham's program, I was flipping through. Have you noticed how many true crime stations there is? There are. Wow, great English show. How many true crime stations we have in America? ID Discovery is obviously the top tier one, right? Headline News, they've turned Headline News into an all true crime. The Oxygen Channel that used to have Sue Johansson on is now a true crime station. Tanner's too young, he doesn't know who Sue Johansson is. She was on the Oxygen Channel. Now it's a true crime channel. They have a channel off of Channel 2. They have a channel off of Channel 2 called the True Crime Network. There is one called Law. Is it Law and Crime or Crime and Law? Pretty much that is the trial station for teachers who have been caught sending texts to students. That channel seems to have all that. We are obsessed with true crime in this nation. Have you noticed this? It used to just be Friday night Dateline, right? After Chris Hansen left Dateline. Dateline really became, that's where your true crime story is. It's Friday night on Dateline. Then Dateline started being shown in syndication every day, right? And then ID Discovery had this huge boom. I Almost Got Away With It. Who the Bleep Did I Marry? All these shows. Forensic Files on HLN. HLN is pretty much the Forensic File channel. You turn it on right now, it's probably Forensic Files. I don't know what they carry on Oxygen. I just discovered that it was a true crime channel. You've got the true crime channel with the guy who used to host America's Most Wanted. The Law and Crime or Crime and Law channel. Like I said, seemingly they're doing a lot of cases with teacher-student relationships being exposed. But we love our true crimes. I want to know, the obsession, Is it shared out there in the audience? How many true crime stories do you follow? Do you turn on one of these channels? Can you watch 8 Forensic Files in a row on HLN? It's just something that was going through my head when I was flipping through the channels yesterday. Wow. There is a lot of selection. 803-0930, star 930. Your budget is cut. It wouldn't be considered essential to anyone else, but it's essential to you. What is that thing? 803-0930, star 930. We'll talk about that. Also, I got a scam call on my way into work today. I'll tell you about that and what you should be looking out for. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Great to be with you. You know, it's October, so college basketball starts later this month. The NBA starts this month. And no, I'm not going to sit here and talk about either. However, it does show, since, you know, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about true crime television shows. But it does show how television watching has changed. Do you remember when ABC, ESPN, moved Monday Night Football to only ESPN to free up Mondays for ABC? They thought that Monday Night Football, or they said it wasn't getting the ratings that it had usually gotten. So Monday Night Football moved to ESPN to free up Mondays on ABC. Now, Monday Night Football, usually a simulcast or they're doing a doubleheader, which, by the way, they should never do. But it just shows how network TV viewing has completely changed. Because, you know, I mean, I guess someone's watching some of these shows, but it's not the audience that they used to be. I mean, do you sit around the water cooler? Well, you probably don't sit around the water cooler, but when you're talking about anything on TV, how often are you talking about something on a network? And now we're seeing it with NBC. NBC, for the first time in 20-some years, is getting the NBA back, but it's not going to be Saturday afternoons like when I was a kid. It's going to be Tuesday nights, a Tuesday night doubleheader on NBC for the NBA. 20 years ago, you could never imagine giving up a day, a night of primetime programming. It just shows how people's viewing habits have changed. They're not watching it live, or, you know, they're finding something else. I mean, I sit there and watch, you know, the Bills game, and I can't believe some of these shows are still on. I mean, to me, even in the promo, they don't look like something I would flip back and watch. But it's just the way it has changed. You know, I wanted to talk about phone scams, and I will a little later. But this just came across my phone as I was sitting here. And before I do that, I'm totally distracted, and I apologize. We're going to get undistracted right now. J.D. Vance is taking questions. He stepped in to Caroline Leavitt's press conference and made some comments. He has been taking questions from White House press for the last 30 minutes. And I know I said this about Trump yesterday, so I sound like a broken record. Regardless of how you feel about the current administration, isn't it refreshing that the president and vice president, again, you might disagree with them, but is it not refreshing that they sit there and they answer questions from the press? Again, a press, let's be honest, more than half do not like them. But J.D. Vance is sitting there. He was taking questions before I went to break. He's still taking questions as we speak from everyone in the press room. Do you remember Kamala Harris taking a question before she was the candidate? I'm sure she took a question or two, but I don't ever remember her in a situation like the vice president is right now, talking about the shutdown to the White House press. And I know I'm biased, obviously, but that is so refreshing that you have a president and a vice president that you hear from almost every single day. Joe Biden barely talked to the press. He barely talked to his cabinet, according to the books that are coming out. And we were told that was fine for 4 years. But again, regardless of how you feel about Trump or Vance, they're regularly talking to the American people. I would say more than Obama, more than Bush, more than Clinton. They turn every event into an excuse to take questions. Very rarely, unless they're making a statement on something that happened, rarely do I see the president or vice president make a statement without taking questions. And yes, you can point to the time that Biden made the statement about the Hur report. And then we know how those questions went. We know how taking questions in that situation went for the former president. So I just have to say, again, he's sitting there. He just called on someone else. And this is a press that's, I mean, not the kindest. Did you hear the Stephanopoulos interview with Speaker Johnson this morning? I mean, it seems to be a regularly hostile environment for Republicans and the White House when talking to most of the media. What's her name on CNN? 9 o'clock. Caitlin Collins. She was pretty hostile towards the speaker last night. I mean, that seems to be the way the interviews go. And again, the president and vice president will continue to take questions, continue to talk to the American people through the people asking the questions. And I don't know how you can look at the last administration and go, oh, they were very transparent. Oh, the Biden administration was so much more transparent. Were they? You never heard from Biden or Harris until she was the candidate. That's just the comment I wanted to make. Now, I was scrolling on my phone, and I was on the Nextdoor app, and someone posted this. And I want to know is if anyone out there has seen this, because this is an issue. It has been an issue. You heard Supervisor Nowak talk about it when I filled in for David on Monday. This is an issue. Sean Ryan might want to run away from it in the city of Buffalo. But this is an issue not only in the city, but in the suburbs. This is from the Nextdoor app in my neighborhood. And it said a few days ago, I was standing in my garage looking out my driveway when I saw someone sneaking up to our cars. It was a male in a ski mask checking the car doors in broad daylight. At 4:15, someone was walking through this neighborhood with a ski mask on, trying to break into a car. I mean, can you imagine that? You talk about criminals feeling comfortable committing crimes in broad daylight. This is in Clarence, New York. And I'm wondering, have you seen anyone trying to break into cars? Because when I was in high school, I remember there was someone going down the street and checking the cars only on the street. They were not going into driveways from what I saw. Pulling on the car doors, trying to get them open. And now in a time that we hear about, we hear crimes down, but there's always the except, car thefts are up. I mean, for 2 years now, car thefts are on a incline. And in Clarence, New York, and I'm sure in other suburbs and in the city, you've got criminals trying to break into the car in broad daylight. Again, you should always lock your car, make sure it's locked. But that is someone who does not fear, either they don't fear being caught or they don't fear the consequences. And this is something that I always go back to. They don't fear the consequences because, again, if you're under 18, there's very minimal consequences. And if you're above 18, you'll be let out. You're not going to be doing hard time. You'll get an appearance ticket. So it's one or the other. I can't imagine you're walking through a neighborhood where people are sitting there in their garage and you're going car to car. I can't imagine you think that no one's going to see what you're doing, right? Especially now with Ring doorbells and all this advanced security. So I'm leaning more towards that these individuals, they don't care about the repercussions. They don't care about the consequences because in New York State, there really is no consequence. And what are we doing about that? Absolutely nothing. People are too concerned about their re-election. This goes back to my term limit talk. Too many people are too concerned with their re-election. The governor's concerned with her re-election. She only cares about showing, making it look like she's trying to do something in New York City because that's the vote that she cares about. But what have you seen? 803-0930, star 930. I want to know if you've seen something similar than this. Someone trying to break into a car, maybe break into a house in broad daylight. On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, we have someone, Joe, just yesterday around 4 p.m. in West Seneca. Someone was pulling on car doors. I mean, I, in a million years, never would think of breaking into a car. I'm not a criminal. All right, I've got a few traffic tickets, but I'm not a criminal. But even when I was in high school, the age of most of these kids that are conducting the car thefts, I can't imagine anyone would think during the middle of the day to go pulling on cars. Now, I'm sure there's the exception to the rule, right? In a huge office parking lot, maybe. Maybe you're seeing what kind of person left their car open. Maybe they left some money in the car. I'm sure that, again, wasn't as common as it is now, but I'm sure that's an exception to the rule when I was younger, right? You probably had kids my age, didn't go to school that day, and they went to a big office park and, pulled on car doors away from the light poles. And I say away from the light poles because in 2006, you might have a camera on a light pole, right? So you're avoiding the camera. But if you're far enough away, they can't make out you, and that was maybe the reasoning 20 years ago. But now, again, just put a ski mask on and start pulling on car doors. And hey, if you get caught, I'll be out in 20 minutes. On the text board, there's been all kinds of break-ins to vehicles in Eden since before the summer through present day. Joe, if you're on Facebook, you need to check out the Cheektowaga scanner. It says doorbell videos daily showing stuff like that. And someone says on Amherst scanner, your eyes will be open. When we called to file the police report, we waited for an hour and the police didn't show up. They said there were similar instances that day. So from what I'm seeing in the last 10 minutes, this is just a common occurrence. And in an election season, the popular thing to do is to just ignore it, not try to influence some type of change through the assembly. Again, raise the age. I mean, we had Supervisor Nowak on Monday, and again, we disagree on some aspects of bail reform and raise the age, but he said for repeat offenders, there should be higher consequences. I think there should be, you have to make an example, right? You have to make an example. You wait for the second offense. Well, again, now everyone out there knows they can get they can attempt, and if they get caught, it's a slap on the wrist, right? You've got to make an example of somebody. You put it out there that the first car theft, you're doing some type of something, right? You're not going to get away with a slap on the wrist. It will stay on your record. This crap about taking everything off the record, again, I think it should be a crime-by-crime basis. And if at 4 o'clock, when, you know, let's assume these are high school students, should be home doing homework or enjoying these final days of warmth, instead, you're trying to break into someone's car at 4 in the afternoon. Yeah, if you're 17, I don't have much hope that when you're 18, it's going to be much different. I think something like that should be on your record, at least for some time, right? You get some kind of traffic incident, those points stay on your record for some time. Just because you were 17 and not 18 when you broke into someone's car and attempted to drive it away, that should stay on your record for some time. It's a crime you committed. We have to, you have to make it known that there is a consequence for this action. You're not just going to walk away and be home that night. Because if you don't, then we're just going to keep having this happen. And people should feel like their cars are safe in their driveway, in their neighborhood. You shouldn't walk outside, I'm going to, you know, put the kids in the car, and, you know, across the street you have someone trying to open the car door. Because that is a situation that eventually could escalate, in my opinion. But, you know, when you're 16 and 17, you know that's wrong. Like, that defense that they give for raise the age, that doesn't work. Like, you know this is wrong. You cannot break into someone's car. And unless we show that when you break the law, there are consequences in this state, then the governor can talk all she wants about how crime is down. That is not what people are feeling, and it's not what people are seeing with their own eyes. To be told that what you're seeing, hey, ignore the man behind the curtain, is what New York State's telling you. On the Volkswagen Virtual Park Tech Sport, I was sitting in my house 420. A black SUV pulls up to a car parked on my street. A girl gets out, goes in the car. I see her open the console, and she's shifting through it. I run outside. They take off. That's in West Seneca. That was in West Seneca, again, in the middle of the afternoon, 420. Another one in Amherst, a woman found a man in her car, in her garage. Got away. Amherst police didn't chase because they fled at high speed. I mean, the fact that I brought this up 10 minutes ago and now the text board is flooded with either something that the person texting saw or someone they know saw, that shows you it's a problem. Yet we're hearing it in, you know, we're hearing it from James Gardner. We've heard it from the New York State Police when we were at the fair. This came up, that this crime is on the rise. And again, remember on the 4th of July, the mayor of Albany, a Democrat, right, saying that this raise the age is not a partisan issue. This needs to be eliminated. We have to have consequences for crime, or the crime is not going to go away. And again, do people live in a neighborhood where they don't feel their car is safe? You're going to wake up one morning and your car is going to be gone. And if they find the person, slap on the wrist, they'll be back that day. They'll be back out that day. 803-0930, star 930. I'd love to know. We're getting a lot of text. I'll read a few more when we come back. I'm glad I saw this alert on Nextdoor. Again, have you seen an attempted car theft in the middle of the day? And what do you think the consequence should be for a first-time offender, attempted car theft or car theft, what should the punishment be? 803-0930, star 930. I think we've really tapped into something here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, welcome back. Hour number two here on News Radio 930 WBEN. 803-0930, star 930. That's the number to call in if you want to contribute to the show today. Before the break, we were talking about car thefts in Western New York. And this all started with a Nextdoor app, which I've been known to make fun of the Nextdoor app. But the Nextdoor app post saying that a person said that they were in their garage, looked out, and there was a person in a ski mask going car to car, seeing if any were unlocked so they could either steal something from inside the car or steal the car all together. Now, again, we know that we hear about crime being down statewide, but even the people who want you to think that everything's better with a crime will admit that car thefts are up. In August, Amherst police had already reported 162 stolen cars. That was in August, with the community poised to match or exceed the total from last year, that was 283. So again, if by mid-August there were 162, according to Amherst police, well on their way to breaking the number from last year. And we've gotten texts. The text board has blown up since I mentioned this. We've had texts from people in West Seneca. The Nextdoor app alert was from Clarence. We know this is an issue in the city of Buffalo. We've heard this is an issue in Cheektowaga. So this is an issue in all of Western New York. And again, I can only point to the Raise the Age law that was put into effect that says, you know, if you're under 18, you are treated as a juvenile. And regardless, at 18, whatever you do is off your criminal record. And if you have 16 and 17-year-olds walking around knowing there's no consequence for getting caught, no long-term consequence anyway, then here's the position. Here's what we see, the issue we see ourselves in. 803-0930, star 930. On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, white BMW stolen in Tonawanda near Ted's right before Bills game this past Sunday. Thieves used a device to read the key fob from outside the house, and it duplicated, and they were able to open the BMW, turn it on, and drive away. Another says Durango is stolen. Oh, talking about another Amherst situation. Also on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Joe, I think the old days, the judges would let the juveniles join the U.S. military in lieu of criminal record or going to jail. This would give them a second chance, and maybe the military discipline would straighten them out, and they become productive members of society. Maybe go back to that. I would say have some type of punishment, right? I mean, there are I had in-house suspension once, okay, and I will tell you, I was a better behaved student for the rest of my high school career after my 3-day in-house suspension. True. And the thing that got me into in-house suspension, I never did again. That's a fact. Okay? So this talk of no suspensions, no detentions, to me, that's crazy. To me, there has to be a known punishment, a known punishment for these crimes. And, you know, this is where I disagree with the supervisor. It can't be on the second or the third time. It's got to be the first time, right? So if you see your buddy either attempting or did steal a car, well, you're not going to do it because your buddy is doing community service, had to go to juvenile detention, right? There was a consequence to your actions. If we're not going to have consequence, what life lesson is that? Oh, well, you're 16. You can get away with it. And it won't be on your record. So at 18, and again, with bail reform, but what kind of life lesson is that? You know better. You still did it anyway. I watched a video yesterday out of Florida where a family was on vacation and the daughter stole merchandise from a local big box store in Florida. Now, in Florida, they don't mess around. Okay? That person was caught. That person was jailed. And the family on their vacation had to come up with bail money to get the daughter out of jail. Now, that is a consequence for your actions. Do you think that's happening in New York State? No. I mean, most retail in New York State, they tell you not to chase the item out of the store. Just let it go. In New York State, we make the laws more favorable to the criminal. It's not just a second chance we want to give the criminal. We want to give them a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. We want to lessen the consequences for the crime. We don't want to reward the law-abiding citizen. We want to make sure we're not too hard on the criminal. And years of that, years of lax punishment on things like car theft, leads to more car thefts. Who would have thought? Who the hell could have put that together? But again, the people making the laws, they're not seeing any of this take place. They're in their homes. They're safe in Albany. You know, they're not seeing this take place. It's not affecting them. It's not affecting Kathy Hochul. Her car's not getting stolen. Again, I am all for even a compromise. But when you have elected Democrats that are saying, this is too much, this has gone too far, there needs to be some type of punishment, you would think that the assembly would get together, the governor, and do what's right for the state. Because until then, you know, Amherst is going to have more stolen cars this year than last year. And I'm going to guess, if nothing changes, Amherst will have more stolen cars next year than this year. Because our politicians don't want to address raise the age. They don't want to address bail reform. I mean, the idea that saying a 16 or 17-year-old who steals a car should be punished, the fact that in New York State that's a controversial statement, is wild. Is absolutely wild. It was so refreshing to see that video out of Florida. Again, just this family, they were from South Carolina. They were on vacation. And the daughter shoplisted some stuff out of a big box store. And the video was the camera the police wear telling the family that they're going to have to post bail or their daughter's going to be staying in jail. And the mother said, well, we should just let the daughter stay in jail. And they were there to visit their grandparents. No messing around. No messing around in Florida. And there shouldn't be any messing around. Again, you should be rewarded for being the law-abiding citizen, not let off the hook, because it's your first time. Right? You're going 5 miles over on Sheridan. Okay, warning. It's your first time. We see you haven't gotten a speeding ticket. It's a little different than you stole a car out of a neighborhood. You stole it right out of the driveway at 4 p.m. Little different. 803-0930, *930. Gets you on the phone, gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. No first offender discretion. Smack them with the book. Exactly. Should be able to freeze any charge on a minor, and when they turn 18, apply those charges as an adult. Just, you have to make it known that there is a consequence, right? My first day of high school, I would not shut up, right? Teacher made an example. I got a detention slip right there in front of the class. Now, again, detentions did not deter me as much as suspension, but the point was known. There is a consequence for breaking the rule that you know. You're old enough to know what the rule is. Let's go to Scott in Williamsville. Scott, anything you've seen out there in Williamsville?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. I remember, and you may recall, right? Because I live right in Amherst, right in Williamsville, that I think it was about a month ago that four teenagers were caught who were stealing cars in Amherst. And I thought that was pretty much like the all clear until 2 weeks ago when Bella Via said that 13 cars were stolen just that weekend. So, you know, I'm sure if they traced it back, somebody's got to know. It's just ridiculous that, as you say, that they can't be on notice and have the consequences. And it's, you know, when I was listening to your interview yesterday as a candidate, and you flat out asked them, you know, so what are you going to do differently? And the answer was GPS on snowplows. I'm like, that's it? That's your whole candidacy? That's your campaign? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. So I don't know, because what would you say? Maybe 10, 15 years ago, Amherst was ranked one of the safest cities in the nation.
Yep.
And it is just bizarre what they're allowing people to get rid of. And, you know, you see on the national level that poor gentleman talking about his daughter who got killed, and, you know, 36 arrests. But this guy's back on the street. It's just amazing. So
it is. It is. Hey,
that's all.
Thank you, Scott. Scott in Williamsville. Yeah, when I was a kid, Amherst was, you know, regularly the safest or the second safest town in America, right? Wore that with pride in Amherst. I mean, now, you know, your car's not safe. If we keep on, we're getting close to the last year's. I mean, can you think of that? We might have over 300 stolen cars in Amherst this year at the rate we're going. And no urgency to put a stop to it. No message to Albany. Right? Because the line's going to be, well, what can I do? You know, I'm in town government. Oh, what kind of message have you sent to Albany? You know, nothing. Like, there is something you can do. You can try to call the cap, you know, the you can try to call Albany's bluff. You can you know, make it known that even though if it's your party, you disagree with this law, and you might not see it from Albany, but you see it from town or city hall. Now, unfortunately, in 2025, everything is party politics, and you don't have too many people that want to stray away from the party. Like I said, you do have Democrats calling out Raise the Age, or aspects of Raise the Age, where you think there might be a compromise, but those are people at the local level who are seeing it firsthand. So far, it doesn't seem that they can get the ear of the state official in Albany that's supposed to represent their district. And that's unfortunate. But again, in Albany, just like in D.C., you don't have too many people that want to veer away from their party. And it puts us in the situation we're in now politically. And that's state and the national level. 803-0930, star 930. Something else I wanted to get into. We'll continue taking your calls, obviously, at 803-0930, star 930. But it is Halloween, or it is October. And, you know, October means Halloween. And if you're me, October means we're that much closer to the Christmas holiday season. And I was walking, as I mentioned to David in the crosstalk, I was walking around Wegmans today. I was doing a shop. And, I mean, they are stacked on Halloween candy and have been since August. And now this is not my only question, but I was wondering, who is already buying their Halloween candy? Like, I got to keep that out of the house. I'm not saying I don't have self-control, but, you know, midnight, I get up to go to the bathroom, and I know there's a bag of Kit Kats in the kitchen. That's not going to make it to trick-or-treating. That's not going to make it to the kid dressed up at the front door. That's not going to make it to me and Tanner dressed up as Wham going trick-or-treating after the show. But have you started stacking that Halloween candy? Haunted houses are starting up. I remember a few years ago, we talked to a scare actor when one of the haunted houses opened up. And I'd love to, if I can't, you know, today or this week, maybe next week, I'd love to get a scare actor on the phone. Tell us the in and outs of putting one of these haunted houses together. It's one of those things where you either love them or you hate them, right? You've got haunted house people. They can tell you about every haunted house in Western New York. They can tell you where they used to be, right? People, that's their thing. Halloween is their season. There is, and then you have people that, no, I'll never go. I don't get it. No, I'll go with my kids, but I'm not doing that. And the people who love haunted houses are most likely also the people that just dress their house up. On my way home, there is a house a few blocks over from me. They've got everything going. They've got the tombstones. They've got multiple large skeletons and the fog machine. I mean, it looks amazing. I can't even begin to guess how much it costs to put together or how much it costs to run. They also have music playing if you roll your window down. It is interesting that this house has music playing with all that stuff because there's no sidewalks on the street. So you're hoping that someone is driving by with their windows down because, again, your neighbor saw it once. They're probably sick of the music. I thought it was awesome, but I was driving by and just happened to have my window down. So in this last segment, I thought we'd have a little fun. Are you a big Halloween person? As we kick off the month of Halloween, are you a big Halloween person? Do you decorate the house? Do you have fog machines? Do you have the big skeletons? Do you have the tombstones? Are you a scary costume person? Or are you maybe not so, you know, like, yeah, I'll get a goofy costume. I'll hand out candy. But I'm not dressing up my front yard like it's Christmas for Halloween. 803-0930, star 930, as we kick off Halloween season. Tanner and I only have a few weeks to put together our Wham outfits. We'll give you the update as that goes. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN, final segment. Hope you're enjoying your hump day. So I mentioned that J.D. Vance was speaking to the media, and this is not my topic. I just thought I would play this. I think it's interesting. He mentioned, Democrats in the 90s saying exactly what Republicans are saying now. Here's just a clip of what J.D. Vance said, and then we'll get into Halloween.
The guy in the back, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. You responded to a post on X and Chuck Schumer on the House floor back in 1996, railing against illegal immigrants receiving taxpayer-funded benefits. You said Chuck Schumer once recognized that it was disastrous to give illegal aliens rewards for breaking the law. Now he wants to shut down the government unless we reward illegal aliens for breaking the law. Why has Chuck Schumer changed his stance?
You know, that's a good question. It's a very tough question. Asking me to get in the head of Chuck Schumer is not a place I particularly want to be. But my basic read on it is that the entire Democratic Party, the political leadership, not every Democrat nationwide, but the political leadership of their party has got it into their heads that the only way to be compassionate is to be compassionate to illegal aliens rather than American citizens. If you go back to what Bill Clinton was saying, even Barack Obama in some cases, what he was saying about illegal immigration 10, 15, 20 years ago, you would put them on the MAGA right based purely on their rhetoric around illegal immigration. So I don't know why they've gone so far to the left. I think it's bad for the country. I think it's bad for them politically. But our principle, all I can do is speak for the president that I serve and the country, the administration that I serve right now. We believe that the American people's government exists for the American people.
J.D. Vance, again, love him or hate him, this administration, they're talking. The president, the vice president, you see them regularly talking with the press. Now, it is Halloween, and obviously, there are Halloween freaks out there. They love Halloween. They tour haunted houses. They participate themselves in a haunted house. They make their garage a haunted house for trick-or-treaters. They dress up their front yard. They put fog machines all day. All day. Fog machines, skulls and tombstones and that, you know, haunted house music. We all know what I'm talking about. Ooh. And then you have people, they're just like, yeah, I mean, it's cool for the kids, but that's about it. And don't get me wrong, there are people who don't do the scary aspects of Halloween, but they get caught up in the costume part of Halloween. That's why Spirit Halloween was open at the end of July. I mean, there are people that are piecing their Halloween costume together for months now. We all have that. I mean, this year it's going to be Tanner and I, but we all have people at work. You know, every year they're not only coming in a costume, they're bringing candy. You can go by their desk and trick or treat, right? And then you have the people who have already bought their trick or treating candy. You know, I mean, that section's been up for a while now at the grocery store, and it's going to start going away before Halloween's even here and replaced with the Thanksgiving section, seasonal section and all that. I mean, I've already started to see some of the Thanksgiving stuff, right? The big pan you put the turkey in. I see that starting to get stocked up at certain stores. My days of retail, I remember being on that back, in the back room there and receiving all the product in. And I mean, you would already have the back shelves loaded up with Thanksgiving and Christmas stuff by now. I mean, you're already working on next year's stuff. I mean, you slowly would get some replenishment in, but you've got the displays and everything in the back of the store as we speak. I mean, that was, you already had that big Christmas dump day. So stores are already going to be switching over before Halloween's even here. I love the holidays, as you know. I love Christmas, and I love having the Christmas tree and the lights up and all that stuff. Halloween for me, it's just not my specialty. I mean, there are some people, they really get into it, and I mean, they could tell you why they set up the way they set up and everything, and that's great. Right? When my son's a little older, I'll love to walk him by houses like the one I was talking about in the last segment. I just could never see me doing anything more than, you know, cutting up a pumpkin and putting a candle inside. Like, for me, that's the extent. Which is fine, right? Which is fine. You know, you'll have people, they'll get all decked out for Halloween and do nothing for Christmas. And hey, to each their own, right? But I'd love to talk to someone who is just a Halloween fanatic. Like, this is the holiday you live for. And the fact that it's on Friday this year, you could not be any more excited about Halloween 2025. When I think of Halloween, I go back 5 years. My dad and I, we broke the rules and we went to Louisville for a Virginia Tech football game because it was the only game they played in front of fans that year. At Louisville, Tech was not allowing fans, and none of the other ACC schools were. So we went, we were one of 8,000, or they were allowing 8,000 people in. The night before, we spent the night in Cincinnati. Now, again, we'd been here in New York, right? Following New York and Erie County rules. In Cincinnati, they're having a Halloween costume party. Again, there were some restrictions, but they're having gatherings, bars are open. It was it seemed like a foreign land compared to what we had been putting up with, being told that we could only congregate with people within our home. And then we're in Cincinnati and there's Halloween costume parties. People are standing up dancing. We left the hotel and went to a bar. Again, October 2020, it was just, so when I think of Halloween, I think of that trip because that was on Halloween weekend. The game was on Halloween. And it's just so funny. Once you got out of this state, it seemed like you had gone into a different country. Things were open. People were doing things. I'm not saying they had no restrictions. Like the game we went to, they only allowed 8,000 people into the stadium in Louisville. Then you go to the bar, and the bar is crammed with people. Like, it made no sense. The outdoor venue is only 8,000, yet the bar was, you couldn't even get to the bar to order a drink. It was so crammed. So when I think Halloween, I think of that trip. And, you know, I like I said, I love Christmas. If you ask me, hey, how do I, you know, deck the place for the holidays? All right, I've got some pointers for you. Halloween, I would be completely, wouldn't know what to do. Like I said, I'll cut the pumpkin up. You know, I'll hand out candy. I'll do a costume. I'm fine with a costume. But the fog machine, the tombstones, even the giant skeletons, I that's just not my thing. That's not my thing. But I love seeing people get into the spirit. I always say, you know, Halloween's the kickoff of the holiday season. Right, the day after Halloween, more people are listening to Christmas music. Not everybody, but more people. You're already now preparing for Thanksgiving. As the person on the text board said, they have a closet where all their Halloween candy is. Well, that closet probably becomes the Thanksgiving closet after Halloween. Someone says they started merchandising for Halloween in August. It's totally ridiculous. They say it glorifies death. That's why, the left hates Christmas. It glorifies life. I mean, you remember that whole push, right? You know, we can't call it Christmas break in school anymore. And, you know, Trump, when he was first elected in 2016, he went on the We're Saying Christmas Again tour. To me, Halloween kicks off Christmas season. There it is. That's right. You have Halloween and then November 1st. Another person said Walmart and Hamburg already has Christmas stuff up. Oh, Hobby Lobby on Transit and Worley has had Christmas stuff up for like a month now. Cracker Barrel has their Christmas decorations up. I believe At Home already has Christmas stuff going on. Believe me, when my wife walks into a store and there's Christmas stuff, I get an album of photos texted to me. And I do the same. I walk into a place and they've put Christmas stuff up. I send it to her. We're kind of crazy when it comes to Christmas. We're the Christmas, like people are with Halloween, we're fanatics with Christmas, right? We want to go, and I told Lisa Polizzi, I said, I want to do some type of Christmas remote. I don't care if it's host a show with Santa at the mall next to me. I want to do some kind of remote this holiday season where I'm hosting a show from some type of holiday event. We're going to make it happen. That's why I'm saying it on here. We're going to make it happen. But Halloween, hey, I love seeing the people who get all into Halloween. I love seeing it. I love seeing how in-depth you get with your decorations. You know, the big spider and the huge cobweb. Again, I remember trick-or-treating as a kid. There was a house a block over from where I grew up here in Amherst. They would have a haunted house in the garage. You would walk through the haunted house garage, and then at the end was the person handing out candy. It was pretty neat. Pretty neat. Before I get out of here, you know I love Wheel of Fortune. I love all game shows, but I really love Wheel of Fortune. And last night, this happened. Now, I hate the new Wheel of Fortune set. I have nothing against Ryan Seacrest. I don't know why they had to change the set just because they changed the host. But the new Wheel of Fortune set, it looks too much like they're trying to copy 90s Wheel of Fortune look with current Wheel of Fortune technology. And it just doesn't work. The last set was looking great. I don't know why we had to change the graphics and the board and all this stuff. But this is what happened. This was the final puzzle. And here's what happened.
Okay, Vanna, what can you show us? Very quiet in the audience. Living things, that is the category. You'll have 10 seconds to try and solve it. Christina's staring at me. Good luck.
Pack of coyotes.
You won $1 million!
Christina, they're gonna miss you at work. You just won $1 million!
All right, that's a crazy, that's awesome. She won $1 million on the final puzzle. But then the big voice guy, they're going to miss you at work. You just want to. Is anyone quitting their job for $1 million? Like, I don't think in 2025 that's quit your job money. That's invest well money, right? That's not be in any debt money. I mean, unless, you know, you've racked up a ton of debt. I mean, that would be a lot of debt. That's your set. You know, you'll be comfortable as if you keep working money. I couldn't imagine, hey, I quit my job. Why? Well, I won $1 million before taxes on the Wheel of Fortune. Like, that's not quit your job money. I mean, I would even say go as far as say, if you won $10 million, that's not quit your job. I would never quit my job. I'm just putting that on there right now. If I, you know, won the lottery, say the lottery was $20, $25 million, I would not quit my job. You hear too many stories of people who, you know, win the Powerball, win the Mega Millions, and within a decade, they are broke. They had to sell their house. Again, I don't think I would do that. I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way when it comes to money. All right. I'm still learning a lot of financial lessons from being financially idiotic. But one thing I would not quit my job. Number one, what am I going to do all day? I think I'd be very late. I'd be very bored. But I just, $1 million. Again, it's nice, right? Your family, you can take, you know, your immediate family, you can make sure they've got a little extra money, hopefully pay off their debts. But I think Christina is still going to be in the office tomorrow. Like, she might get a few high fives. She might say, hey, I don't need this. I did win the $1 million. I could look for another job while I'm living off that. But again, I don't think that would be smart. You want to invest that money. You want to make sure that that money grows for you. So I thought that was an interesting... I loved everything, right? She won the $1 million. That's awesome. She's excited. Seacrest is excited. They got the confetti going. But the comment, they're going to miss you at work, I just don't think that's true. I think Christina's going back to work. I think she'll be there tomorrow. And she'll talk to you, hey, Pack of Coyotes got me $1 million. Did it not? And what would be the amount? What would the amount of money you win have to be to say that you would never go to work again? Again, with the, in the back of your mind, knowing how many people have won the lottery and blown through the money in less than a decade. I'm not accusing anyone in this audience of doing that. Like I said, I think I've learned a lot of lessons. I would never do that. But I still would not want to cut off all my income. I probably wouldn't be working a second job anymore, that's for sure. I just could not imagine quitting my job and then just living off my winnings, especially a million. But like I said, I think even if you went 50, 55 million, it's a lot of money. I think I would continue working. I like my job. And you want to, you know, you want to have something to do all day. And hey, you probably want to be able to use as little of those winnings as possible. Again, you want to let that money grow. You want that money to be there for you if anything happens. You want that money to be there for you when you retire. So like at 37, if I were to win millions of dollars, yeah, I would still be here the next day. The big voice guy, I would be upset. The big voice guy said, Joe, they're going to miss you at work. No, they're not. I'm going to be there. So that happened on Wheel of Fortune. I've said this numerous times. I love game shows. There's two game shows that I would feel very comfortable going on, and that's Price is Right and Wheel of Fortune. Now, again, I think Wheel of Fortune takes a ton of luck because you could know the puzzle. You still got to spin that wheel, right? If you want to compete. I mean, you can't just solve every puzzle. You won't make any money. You could bankrupt. You could lose a turn. A lot of luck goes into Wheel of Fortune, right? Price is Right, again, you have to get called on stage. You also have to be somewhat knowledgeable of the actual retail price. But I could do those shows. I could never do Jeopardy. I don't think I could have ever done Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I couldn't have done Weakest Link, except I would have loved Weakest Link. That was, I think, a very underrated show. Tom Bowerly's coming up next here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tom, happy hump day.
Well, hump day, yes, and Yom Kippur, very solemn yes. holiday coming up tomorrow for our Jewish members of the audience. And Joe, I think coming up today after 3 o'clock, going to do something a little bit out of the mainstream, and it's something we covered some time ago. When you drink bottled water, first of all, do you drink bottled water? Are you one of these people who walks around as if you were going to dehydrate in the middle of Cheektowaga or Lancaster?
Yeah, I've got a gallon jug in the studio here with me, Tom, so I have to say, I am guilty of walking around. I am exactly who you're describing.
Well, let me ask you this. The jug that you carry, the gallon jug, of what material is it made?
Plastic.
Oh, Joe.
I know.
Yeah, we're going to get into this because more and more now, my news feed was loaded this morning with stories about microplastics and how dangerous they are to human beings. And if it makes you feel any better, Joe, I will do water out of a plastic bottle, as will Rochelle, in an emergency when there are no other options. But we choose glass because microplastics are really bad. And Joe, if I told you where they found microplastics during postmortems, I think it might gross you out a little bit.
So I have to say, I usually have my water bottle, which is glass insulated with the stainless steel outside, but nice. I left it at home, so I bought this on my way to work. So, of course, today, when you're mentioning it, I'm putting the microplastics in my body.
Well, these are exigent circumstances, and those exigent circumstances are going to arise, but microplastics are getting a lot of play in the news, and I'm glad they are because I've been on this bandwagon for a while now, And the water bottles that people carry around, we never used to think about it when I was growing up, you know, back in the 1800s, was it the 1700s, back when I was growing up. But now it's almost like the entire nation is worried about dehydration. So I want to get into that.
Well, when I was a kid, Tom, we didn't have the water bottles outside. We would just turn the hose on. You know, that's how.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another issue altogether. And of course, you rode your bike with the helmet on and all that kind of stuff. I get it.
Most of the time I had the helmet on. But
so what went wrong the day you didn't? I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to look cool, right? All the cool kids didn't have their helmet on. And then, you know, I went over the curb. But that's
Oh, Joe, would you like some advice from a very old man?
Oh, Tom, I always love your advice.
Okay. When you try to look cool, you don't. Don't try to look cool and let your charisma and magnetism carry the day.
I will have to put that into practice. Tom Bowerly is up next here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Can't wait for that. And it's all after the news with Tom Puckett. I'll see you tomorrow at 1 on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.